Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And of course, building up on key conversations that we're having tonight, one that largely speaks to key conversations that are happening, especially when it comes to the sidelines of the G20 conversations and summit. The culmination of it all will take place in November this year. But as you would know, throughout the last few weeks, months, we have had ongoing conversations that speak to the fundamental development of a strategy that does take place. How G20 nations and South Africa sitting at the helm of the presidency will look to align on key themes that speak to energy, infrastructure, our financial gains, and of course our monetary policies, and also a key focus on youth involvement too. The finance track is currently underway in the city of Durban, and this is where key conversations are taking place between various central bank governors, including finance ministers, all looking at finding ways of aligning and collaborating for constructive dialogue on pivotal global trade issues. To help us understand what's been on the agenda so far, what has been discussed, and most importantly, why this matters to us as South Africans, we're joined by Dr. Rashad Kassim, Deputy Governor of the South African Reserve Bank. Dr. Kassim, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you.
Excited to speak to you, and I can imagine the last 48 hours for you have been incredibly busy and robust in terms of the conversations. But perhaps let's start off just by getting your perspective for the ordinary South African who might not be well aware or even have a clear understanding of the G20 finance track. Help us understand the critical nature of the conversations that are taking place currently.
Thank you so much. So one must remember that the origins of the G20 was around 1999, 2000, when you had the Asian financial crisis. And the main purpose of the G20 was, you know, a group of important countries which represent more like 85% of global GDP or global output growth are participating in the G20 because a lot of problems that countries cannot individually solve need to be solved collectively. And the philosophy of the G20 is that we live in a highly interconnected financial global world, and we on a country on its own cannot solve these problems. So it's essentially that the finance track is an attempt to deal with the financial and the economic issues. Why should ordinary South Africans care? Because we know we've had major crises like the global financial crisis. We've had the COVID crisis. The G20 is a forum where you build consensus about how countries can share ideas, share resources, harmonized regulation, dealing with illegal finance, and so on. So really, it's an attempt to improve both the state of the global economy, ensure that the financial world is stable, and that has important implications for every person in the street in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in just a moment, because ultimately we're trying to ensure that the power of our rand is one that is competitive in comparison to our global counterparts. Keeping with the theme that you mentioned around multilateral development, I'm quite keen to understand and perhaps get further context around the outcomes that we're looking for there. I do understand that that's been a key aspect in terms of growth development and the establishment of an MDB roadmap.
So some aspects of the G20 are simply themes that we continue from previous G20 countries, previous presidents of the G20. We often use the word relay match. We take over the baton and we continue some things. So, for example, if you look at the multilateral development banks, there was a view that one of the ways in which we in South Africa, our colleagues in on our continent, are able to deal with the challenge of, for example, accessing finance to deal with climate change issues, are to ensure that we create robust rules and we strengthen multilateral development banks. That could be, for example, the Development Bank of Southern Africa. In our continent, it could be the African Development Bank. It could be the World Bank. So one of the issues that the G20 is taking forward is, how do you improve how do multilateral development mobilize finance from the private sector to be able to lend for long-term projects? So, you know, this is an example of one thing that is being discussed here. Other things that are being discussed here is we spent a lot of time over the years building regulation, harmonizing regulation to make sure that banks are resilient, that banks are not the source of financial crisis. Now we look at other parts of the financial sector. We look at the pension fund industry, the money market fund, the hedge fund industry, and we look at ways to ensure that we harmonize our regulation where we're able to detect risk in the financial system. And it goes on many other areas. The Treasury, for example, deal with taxation and infrastructure. I'm kind of less qualified to talk about that. We talk about how we can organize ourselves on matters of cyber resilience, because cyber crime is a cross-border issue.
Yes.
So it's just another example where we try to develop cooperation in that matter.
100%. Let's talk about a field that does fall under your expertise here, Dr. Kasim. And this is what we thoroughly enjoy engaging you on, even through the media briefings that you have. And that certainly has to do with international markets and the international cluster, financial markets as well. And I think this is critical because, as you've mentioned, South Africa is at the helm of the G20 presidency. We are an open economy and one that competes with the rest of the globe. And throughout the years, we've witnessed several geopolitical factors that have translate into macroeconomic factors that we essentially then have to contend with at a local level. I'm quite keen, given what where we stand with concerns around ongoing inflationary pressures, whether through the tariffs, the ongoing conflict in Russia and Ukraine, ongoing political uncertainty, global growth as well, which has been stagnant. You know, how have these themes come through in some of the conversations taking place over the last 2 days? And what's been some of the feedback to the solutions that we can look forward to?
So the finance ministries and the central banks are very careful to kind of stay their lane. As you said in your opening remarks, the G20 will culminate in a head of summit meeting in this country later this year.
Yes.
And the big political issues are best left to the heads of states. But what we do in the finance track is we try to understand what are the global drivers of global economic growth, or what are the impediments to global economic growth. And, you know, we collectively discuss that that wars and conflicts have very negative effects on the economy, and our job is trying to work out what implications that has for the economy and the financial sector. The other aspect that very much is topical is uncertainty brought about by tariffs, and you know, we spend a lot of time engaging on the free trade system, and we, as the G20, encourage our colleagues around the table to ensure that we respect,
yes,
and reinvigorate the World Trade Organization, which is the vehicle through which there's fair and transparent trade, because the uncertainty of trade has implications for inflation. It has implications for economic growth. So in our case, we look at war and conflict, we look at tariff uncertainty, and we kind of assess what impact will that have on the economy and what are ways in which we can correct what could be a negative consequence for the global world.
100%. Dr. Kasim, yourself and your colleagues at the SABA are no strangers to much of the criticism or questions where various leaders have called for perhaps the expanding of the mandate of the South African Reserve Bank. Inflation targeting is what it is, as we understand. But of course, job creation, economic growth has often been alluded to as a factor we should consider, given the stance of South Africa's economy. Is that taking place? Are those potential conversations that are taking place right now? And where are we, perhaps, if you could take us into the confidence of the SARB with regard to those conversations?
Thanks for throwing in the non-G20 question. Look, I think that we cannot, if you go back to the Constitution, It says that we should protect the currency in the interest of balance and sustainable growth. So even the economic model that we use, which maybe many people are removed from, it's technical. The economic model has two important determinants in the model that churns out a particular interest rate path. The one is, where is economic growth? And the other is, where is inflation? Mm-hmm. And if economic growth is low, if the cyclical unemployment rate is rising, that has a very different impact on the way we think about interest rates. If there are inflationary pressures, then when economic growth is high. So we use a very, in the US, for example, when they do monetary policy,
yes.
They have an employment target. We have a slightly more comprehensive target, which we call, it's a technical term, which your listeners may not be familiar with, is called the output gap. So when we say that the output gap is negative, we're saying the economy is performing below potential. There is scope to stimulate the economy. When we say the output gap is positive, we're saying that the economy is overheating, that there's lots of demand in the economy, and that's causing inflationary pressures. So this notion of output gap is like an employment proxy. So our decision to make on the monetary policy stance is very much dependent on our assessment of where the economy is, and that's how I would capture it.
Got you. Thank you for accepting that curveball. It's just some of the questions that typically do come up, Dr. Kasim. But to close it off with, and for the benefit of our listeners, as we've highlighted, we want to ensure that South Africans understand the critical nature of these conversations and the outcomes thereof. So if we had to explain this, and I guess the key takeaway that we have to walk away with as South Africans, help us understand what it is that we should be mindful of regarding these conversations and how it fundamentally impacts the strength of the rand in our pockets.
Well, at the end of the day, you want to demonstrate to the world that this is a country that has a strong, independent judiciary. That matters for economic policy decisions. You want to demonstrate to the world that this country has very strong regulation in the financial sector. It has a strong, independent central bank. That makes decisions without fear or favor, and the strong economic institutions that we have play a very important role in encouraging investment and ensuring that the rand does not go in a kind of depreciation spiral.
100%. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Dr. Kasim. I can imagine it's going to be quite a busy week and a busy couple of months for you going forward, but we appreciate the insights you've been able to share with us tonight.
Thank you.
Dr. Rashad Kasim, Deputy Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, joining us this evening to help us better understand the G20 finance track meetings. As you've heard, very technical conversations and themes that are taking place. But if anything, South Africa's international competitiveness and alignment with its global peers is something that we certainly should be proud of. Seeking levels of alignment as to how it is that we address and approach the shift in the global financial climate is something that remains pertinent there. So it might seem like it's far-fetched right now, but ultimately the outcomes that will come out of these conversations do play an influence in our lives as South Africans. Just having a better understanding of where we are with global growth. What are the risks to inflation? And with those risks to inflation, what does it mean when it comes to interest rates? Interest rates that influence you and I when we go to financial institutions and seek credit. And even as savers who put our money away in a bank account or money market account, that same interest rate essentially determines the growth of the money that we keep in the bank. Share your thoughts with us. 063-688-0959. It's just gone. 6:31.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.